At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to More Knowing Wheel, episode 78, if I'm not mistaken. Or is it episode 79, Jamie?
I believe it's 79. Actually.
You believe it's 79? We're going to go with 79.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Maybe Jamie's wrong. Either way, it's no longer a Valtteri Bottas tribute show this week. Next up, I think, will be Oscar Piastri in a couple of episodes' time. But we do return to discuss the ongoings from the carnage-filled Singapore Grand Prix. But of course, before we get into that, how are we doing, Jamie? Nice to have you back again.
Yeah, I'm good. I actually, Channel 4 let me down at the weekend. So my recollection of the race, which I missed because I work on a Sunday now, was the 7-minute YouTube highlights. So I won't be that useful, but I've tried to do my best. I've watched Ted's Notebook and I caught the extended highlights as well, which were like 12 minutes. So I mean, to be fair, I saved myself a lot of time because, by the sounds of it, you just spent a lot of time waiting and nothing much happening.
Well, I mean, yeah, we'll talk about that in just a minute, because that certainly is a point that I think was very quickly forgotten during the Grand Prix weekend at Singapore. But of course, we did a preview show last week. We covered quite a few bits and pieces. If you want to go check out that one, I would highly recommend doing so as well, of course. If you're interested, check out Bybit as well. Links to that down in the description. Spotify, F1 merch, everything like that. There is plenty to see down there. But Jamie, let's talk about it then. Zhou Guan Yu has got his contract renewed. I'm sure you're a happy boy.
It's been very deserved. Very, very, very deserved.
Yeah.
I think everyone wrote him off. You put in P20 in your driver's predictions at the start of the
year. I did, yep.
I think he's P17 or something.
I genuinely believe Latifi would score points for some stupid reason.
Yep. Williams 5th. Heard it here first. Yeah, I'm very happy. I think people are so harsh on him still just because the first 8 races before Baku, he wasn't that quick compared to Bottas, but that's kind of acceptable because Bottas has just come out of a spell of being in the fastest team on the grid. Joe is obviously a rookie. There's going to be a bit of time that he needs to learn. But
let's be fair, Bottas, unless he's racing wheel-to-wheel with someone, is still actually quite a fast driver most of the time.
Always has been, really.
He's not slow.
Yeah, not at all. But I think since Baku, there's a real turning point. Mark qualified him, Bottas. I think if you count, obviously this is fake stats, but if you count from Baku, I reckon Joe is ahead. I'm not sure. I haven't fact checked that.
I think he is.
It's definitely either level or ahead.
I think he would be ahead if my maths. I think it would be like 4-7.
Yeah.
No,
He's been
4-3
very good since then.
Or something like that.
And obviously his luck has been horrific as well. Picked up Alfa Romeo's only point since Canada in Italy.
Yep.
Basically, Joe got good just as the car became terrible.
Yeah.
So he hasn't really been rewarded for it, but I'm very happy. I think fully deserved. And yeah, I'm glad he will get a chance to hopefully race at his home Grand Prix in Shanghai next year.
Yeah, and I must admit, you know, I'll hold up my hands and admit, we know we're on the show, and we also know when we get it wrong. And Zhou Guan Yu has genuinely this year surprised me with how consistently quick he has been. Like we said, you know, took a few races to get into it, and I was still quite worried at that point with how he was coping. But yeah, like I said, since Baku, Zhou Guan Yu has certainly deserved a contract extension. I mean, it might give Alfa Romeo a few headaches if Teo Pourchaire has a good season next year in F2, but Zhou Guan Yu's proven he deserves a place in Formula 1.
That is music to my ears. That's going to eclipse and repeated.
Go for it, mate. Go for it. Speaking of drivers just making their F1 debut, Fernando Alonso started his 350th Grand Prix this weekend, which, let's be fair, is absolutely insane. He's now the most experienced driver in Formula 1.
Is that true?
Yep. 349 for Kimi.
349, fair.
Yep. 350 is bigger than 349.
That is indeed it is. Also, side note, Sebastian Vettel will end his career on 299. I don't know if you saw that.
I did not see that, and that really does fill me with pain.
Yeah, that's very upsetting.
If only Ferrari had given him a working car at the 2016 Bahrain Grand Prix.
Or if he didn't have COVID at the start of the year.
Or he didn't have COVID.
Or
yes.
Russia hadn't invaded Ukraine.
Yeah, there's plenty of reasons why we should have got Seb to 300. I'll be honest, Jamie, quickly, as we're talking about Seb, I might still have watched back today him naming every Formula One world champion.
Oh, that's quality, isn't it?
I'm starting to get a little bit worried that I'm going to miss him more than I was ever prepared to admit.
Wow.
I think
Matt, with the honest truth today.
I think I want to see Seb still around Formula One when he goes. Because, I mean, we've said this for a little while, haven't we? But you can argue Seb doesn't love the sport more than any other driver currently.
I think that's true, definitely.
He's got so much respect for it, I think, which is incredible.
But talking about another multiple world champion that we just immediately glossed over.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, we'll be here forever, it feels. Is it a 3-year deal he's got with
2 years with Aston Martin.
So that's getting on for 50 more races. He might even touch 400 if he gets that third extension.
Well, he will touch 400, won't he? If each calendar's going to be 24 races,
that's crazy.
Alonso's going to have 400 Grand Prix, and he should have... I'm literally saying this now to tilt every comment I get every week, but Alonso should have quit after about 100. You know, get those two world titles locked up and then just give it up, mate. Like, he's just been crowned next space since. He did get heavily Ferrari'd for a long time. And I mean, I feel like I should respond to the comments talking about Fernando Alonso, because don't get me wrong, I don't think he's a bad driver.
Thank you. That needed clarifying, didn't it?
But I don't know, it just feels a bit strange that he's kind of just mixing it up in the midfield. Like, if you're in a top team still, I understand. But
yeah, it is a bit...
I guess I don't really get what he sees in it still. Which I guess
he still thinks he can win, which is just seems a bit...
But not with Aston Martin. He'll go down there on the first day and it would just be Stroll moaning about something and the team crying and then think, what on earth have I done?
Yeah, I think he's still one of the best drivers on the grid, like top six, quite comfortably.
Top 10,
I think.
Top 10 for me.
Top 10, brave.
I think, yeah, I can name a few drivers better than Fernando Alonso.
Fair enough. Shall we move on before we lose all our Spanish viewers? hola, by the way.
another bit of let's lose all our Red Bull and Aston Martin viewers, shall we?
I mean, I'm going to be Team Red Bull over here.
Okay.
It's a non-story, this. Cap thing.
Right.
I mean, I think I know exactly what went on.
Okay. I'm going to sit back and let you tell me the inner goings of Red Bull and Aston Martin.
Horner, and
please indulge me with this fancy story.
There is talk. It's all speculative for now. But two teams have supposedly broken the budget cap for 2021. But only a little bit, which is obviously against the rules.
By a little bit, we mean under 5%.
Under 5%, which
is about
$8
million.
Yeah, which
$7 million.
If someone wants to accidentally give me $8 million, then that's quite... I'd take that. So the thing that people are annoyed about is because it's not really in the spirit of the rules, obviously. They've broken it probably on purpose. But the stupid thing is, sporting directive, the punishment for overspending by less than 5% is a fine. There is no real consequence.
That's not true.
It's not confirmed yet, but judging by the FIA rules,
there can still be points deductions and many other things. It's deliberately vague for some stupid reason.
Yeah, but I would have heavy intuition that it will just be a fine. If it is, that's very clever from Aston Martin and Red Bull, because they've basically just got an extra 5% on their budget.
Slap
on the wrist.
I mean, this is the... I think Formula One has kind of backed themselves in a corner here. Because let's be fair, if they fine Red Bull, what stops Mercedes and Ferrari spending $400 million again and then just paying out on the fine?
Well, because more than 5%, you would start getting the deductions. I think
this is the problem, isn't it? Like, I don't really get sort of how you know exactly the inner workings of what's going on there. You came out very confident and then have kind of just told us what we all know.
Yeah, well, that's what I knew. But, like, there's no way Red Bull or Aston Martin, well, maybe Aston, but there's no way Red Bull have accidentally spent more than they should have done. So I think they've done it intentionally, knowing the punishment is very small.
I think they might have done it intentionally, hoping the punishment is very small. I mean, this is the thing, isn't it? Because it's still speculation currently. Of course, normally when there's rumours like this in the paddock, like if it's one team and everyone's saying it's one team, it is always that team that is under scrutiny. Like, it's not suddenly going to turn around that actually it's AlphaTauri or someone else has overspent. Apparently as well, Aston Martin was just in the way they've reported it was where the error lies. There was no actual financial overspend. Apparently it is only Red Bull that have overspent budget. But I really do think they're going to... If you remember back, Jamie, I think I want to say it was 2013, wasn't it? I think the FIA are going to be quite clever with this like they did then. Because do you remember when Mercedes did that Pirelli tyre test they weren't meant to? So then they were banned from, was it the Silverstone Young Drivers Test?
Young Driver Test, because they tested their 2013 car with the 2013 drivers in Spain.
So I think what we're actually probably going to see is if Red Bull have gone over budget, either they're going to be forced to use a lot less budget next year. Say for example, I think the budget's 135 million, isn't it, next year?
Mm-hmm.
I could see them being reduced, say, to 120 million or something like that.
Yeah.
Or they're going to be massively reduced for like wind tunnel time and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Because let's not try and beat around the bush here for a minute. When we're talking, especially if it was last year, that could not only be 2021 car, but also 2022's car. So there is the potential that Red Bull have gained an unfair advantage in two seasons worth and two massive years worth of Formula One. And I think this is where the big issue lies, isn't it?
Yeah, and yeah, it does feel like a bit of a pill to swallow for anyone who's not a Red Bull fan, definitely. But upshot is there's no way they're going to change the outcome of either championship.
Oh, no. No, of course not. Yeah. I've never once believed suddenly now that we could see Hamilton get... Even if we saw Red Bull get disqualified from last year's Constructors, I don't see them ever taking it away from Max because, of course, it fitted their agenda. I'm sorry. joking aside, I think it is... Because I think this is the problem, though, isn't it? Because, you know, Ferrari and Mercedes, it's quite weird seeing Ferrari and Mercedes colluding together. Mattia Binotto down at the Mercedes paddock all weekend.
The enemy of mine and me is my friend.
Exactly, but... You know, whether we have seen potentially a... And again, this is all speculation for now. We don't know if any of this has been confirmed. But if Red Bull have gone over the budget cap and have been seen to gain an unfair advantage, I mean, it could theoretically have major repercussions. Because, of course, you know, Toto Wolff said that, you know, Mercedes last year had to dismiss, or not dismiss, but make 40 staff redundant. And it's just little things like that, of course, when it's all well and good looking at the numbers behind it. But when you really sort of realise, you know, it's people's jobs, people's livelihoods at stake. Yeah. That's where it sits really uncomfortably for me, that one team feels like they can just sort of push the envelope when everyone else, you know, there's people that, like I said, lost their jobs over it.
Yeah. Well, Red Bull wouldn't have had the issue at all if Hamilton had stopped crashing into Verstappen last year. So,
but he would have still been... They say, if Red Bull hadn't have overspent, they wouldn't have been close to Hamilton last year. They made Merck's car slower, and Red Bull had to overspend to keep up with them. And even by the end of the year, they were still slower.
We will move on from beating this dead horse anymore than it happens. There's the actual race that happened 15 minutes into this podcast.
There is, apparently.
Singapore Grand Prix, first time back since 2019.
Finally, I love Marina Bay.
Marina Bay is quality. Yeah.
Before we get into it, though, properly, I just want to sort of shoehorn this point in. Is it just me that wouldn't mind seeing a Singapore Grand Prix one year in the day? Because I think... Don't get me wrong. Why wouldn't it be possible?
It would be as hot as Malaysia, wouldn't it? But that is possible.
I mean, it is possible. But I just think, you know,
Malaysia because it's a city.
Yeah, it's sort of my big train of thought, of course, was I was actually looking this weekend. Obviously, and I don't know how much I forgot about the track before, obviously, its return. But, you know, things like over the Anderson Bridge, you realise there's like a huge lake there. And I'd never noticed that before. And I would just sort of quite like to see more of Singapore during the Singapore Grand Prix one year. Because it is a beautiful country.
It's an amazing place, yeah. And, like, we really, like, I don't know, you picture... what other city venues are there? Like Baku, for instance, you can picture half a city based on the F1 track.
Yeah.
You go to Singapore, you just picture some night.
And some huge buildings.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a bit of a shame because it is like an amazing place that we're just kind of missing out on. Obviously, the teams get to experience that, and everyone in the F1 circus will get that through the days and stuff. But yeah, potentially. But I really don't. I think there's a reason they put it at night, because of the heat and because of all the...
Yeah.
It would be very hard on everyone to do it in the daytime.
Yeah, and I mean, that's a very good point that, to be honest, I hadn't really considered, but I think it would just be quite... I mean, again, we sort of get it in free practice, don't we? Sort of FP1 and FP3, you get a bit of a good look of the city and things like that. But I would just, yeah, 1 year, like to see a Singapore Grand Prix in the daytime. Let's get into qualifying, though. Sorry, my little extra side note there. I mean, all weekend, really, wasn't it? Was, is it going to rain or is it going to dry up? Or how much is it going to dry up was the real question, wasn't it?
Yeah, and qualifying started weirdly, like parts of the track were wet and parts were almost like bone dry. But because there was no daylight, no sun to dry the track out, it took ages to dry, because obviously the floodlights are good for lights, but they're not that good for heat. So the water on the surface was only really getting cleared by the cars, which takes a lot longer than when you've got the beating sun on the surface of the racetrack as well. So it was a lot. It was basically just a crossover period for the whole of qualifying. The track was ramping up and ramping up, and who was going to gamble on the slicks, if anyone? And eventually we got the answer. But Q1, it was just intermediates for everyone. Not many surprises, I guess. The three drivers going out, Ocon was a bit surprising, but I think he had some brake issues. Both Williams were on the back row, and along with Ricardo, which is not really that surprising anymore.
Nope.
And Valtteri Bottas, which is a little bit surprising.
Less and less surprising, hasn't it, as the season's gone on. I think it was... I mean, it was always going to be a horrendous weekend for Williams, wasn't it? You just look at Singapore and think, if they can just make it to the end, that's probably going to be quite a good thing. Well, you know, exactly.
Ticked off, did they?
No, exactly. But it's just there that you just don't still... You know, we see Williams making so much progress, but it's still not a good race car at all. It is just a good drag car. But moving into Q2, though, you know, track was still getting drier and drier. I mean, we had Martin Brundle's advanced PhD-esque maths to try and work out when it would be the right time to move on to dries.
Yeah. Pulled a number out of thin air.
Which was 4 seconds past last year's pole time, plus 10 seconds, minus something or something bizarre. Bless him, I don't know what Martin was really thinking. But we did see a couple of cars gamble it towards the end of Q2. Sadly, it was both Aston Martin and Zhou Guanyu, and it didn't work. Long story short.
Stroll wasn't that far off. It was only like, well, I guess in qualifying terms, it's quite a long way, being a second and a half off.
Not in those conditions, though, around a track like that.
But in those conditions, it was fairly similar. Like, what, like maybe 2 or 3 more minutes, and then it would have paid off. But unfortunately not. And they were joined in the drop zone by Mick Schumacher and, surprisingly, George Russell, which he never really got to grips this weekend, it felt like.
No, he certainly struggled this weekend around Singapore. And I mean, there's got to still be something a bit weird about the way Mercedes set up their cars at Singapore, because Hamilton, you kind of imagine, has got used to it. But
their pace was good, though, at points of the weekend.
At points, yeah. But this is the thing. Mercedes just never have sort of got Singapore sussed, isn't it? It's really weird still. Because we've said this for so many years, but... Yeah, I mean, Russell, I was quite surprised because he didn't get more stick for being out in Q2, because he was really quite disappointing, to be honest. But he then took some engine penalties, so he was going to be starting at the back for the Grand Prix, and safe to say there's a little bit to talk about from George Russell when we get into the race. But as we get into Q3, though, things did finally change, and we did see drivers gambling it onto a set of the slick tyres, and it was very much looking like it was just going to be last car on a lap was probably going to get the advantage.
Yeah, but even through the session, while the times didn't matter at that point, because obviously the track's getting quicker and quicker, the likes of Hamilton, Leclerc, Alonso were all doing, and Verstappen as well, were all doing really well consistently to be the driver, like, a second clear of everyone else at certain points, which, is just their class coming to fruition, certainly in qualifying. Leclerc's class is a bit rarer on a Sunday. But, towards the end of the session, you had everyone just pumping in the lap times. Interestingly, Verstappen was like on a lap good enough, well, at the time would have been good enough for pole, and backed off under the turn 19, I think, where Piquet crashed back in the day. and yeah, backed off to get one more run because he had like 20 seconds to finish the lap and start the next. So he decided to back off. I don't know. I think the team told him to. And yeah, he went for it again and then was 9/10 up at the sector two split on Leclerc's time, which was eventually pole. And spoiler, well, 2 days later, 3 days later now. Yeah, the time, or the fuel, sorry, was not there. They must have tried to save money by not putting fuel in the car to finish Q3. And yeah, he had to back off. It was, I think it was quite clever, to be fair. It was quick thinking, because that must have been such a hard call to make for the team to tell him on his final Q3 lap to back off. But starting P8 is much better than starting P20, which is what would have happened had he finished a lap and run out of fuel.
Yeah, I'll be honest. If I was Max Verstappen with that big a lead in championship, I'd go risk it.
Yeah, I guess it was a direct instruction. Had they, obviously they didn't have time to tell him or tell him the reason there and then, but if he knew the reason, I think he would have just carried
on. Oh, Max definitely would have. But I mean, yeah, if I was on the pit wall there, I would have just gone, I mean, if he starts last, he's going to still recover quite well. But yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. It was absolutely the sensible choice. That's just me being a fan, wanted to see some more spice. But if that was,
another race win position ticked off.
Yeah, the first ever last of first, potentially. Still yet to get that in Formula One, starting last in a Grand Prix on the grid and win the race. Still waiting for
Button that. Yeah, and Perez have kind of done it mid-race, but never starting there.
No, and Kimi's been close. That is genuine. I think I've said this before on the podcast months ago, but that is genuinely a record I can actually see Verstappen finally breaking at some point in the future. I can see him getting a bizarre race like that. Don't think it'll be this year, but you never know.
Give him some engine pens at a strong track.
No, exactly. So, I mean, that left us then with Charles Leclerc even, on pole position. Sergio Perez alongside him, 22 thousandths of a second there. And Hamilton P3, 53 thousandths of a second, if I remember correctly, covering 54. The top three. 54 thousandths, sorry.
Yeah.
That, for reference, is how long it takes for you to blink. That's how close it was between the top three.
Wow.
Good. You wanted to test that theory, didn't you? I mean, around a track like Singapore, in the rain, that is insanely close.
That is ridiculous how close that is. It's something like 30 centimetres. Like,
slightly more than that, but yeah, about 2.5 metres.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, that's not very much at all. Splitting over, what, a 6 kilometre racetrack?
5 kilometre racetrack. Yeah. 5.1 kilometres, sorry. And I mean, that's three cars, three different teams, everything like that as well. It was insanely close, and it was really shaping us up, you know, with Verstappen a little bit further back. Maybe we could have an interesting Grand Prix. And then, of course, Sunday kicks off.
And you could take us through this, because I was not watching.
So, Formula One, understandably, has a start procedure. About 2 hours, I think it was, before the race kicks off, they get another absolute downpour. So you sort of think, you know, we've got this start procedure that has to be done. Why don't we start doing that? Send the cars out, get them all on the grid, everything like that, and see what happens. Because we've got through the rain now. There's not meant to be any more. Why don't we just get them out there ready? And then, of course, if it's safe to race, they can race. If not, then we'll just red flag it for now. Hold off. No, they just decide to postpone it for an hour. For seemingly very little reason, because for whatever reason, those full wet tyres they lug around the world can't actually be used at any point. They're just for show.
Yeah. I mean, I was following a little bit on Twitter before the race started, and I try and avoid spoilers, but it seemed a bit ludicrous because the worst of the downpour had gone.
It wasn't raining anymore.
Yeah, they could have just started the procedure then. It's kind of like what they did in Monaco.
Yeah.
Where because everything at F1 is so by the book in terms of the race starting, and everything is so slow as well, you've got to give 10 minute notice or half an hour notice for everything. Just do it a bit quicker. It's 2022. I'm sure they can just press a button and all the teams can get the same info at the same time.
Yeah,
it can't be that hard to not have to give 10 minute notifications of stuff.
I mean, I've got no issues with like 10 minute notifications depending on obviously what it is, but it's just things like, why have to delay the entire start procedure when it's only the final 3 minutes you're worried about, and that's when the cars roll off to do the formation lap?
Yeah.
It's not that difficult, surely.
Yeah, not at all. And, yeah, it's just kind of like F1 being hasn't really moved on from the past to where everything I did had to be done quite in advance because it was hard to communicate. They could communicate so easily now, and they just don't even bother trying.
It's like we're still run by Bernie stuck in the Stone Ages at times still. It is bizarre. But that did also mean, Jamie, like I said, you know, the race got postponed by an hour. Obviously, we've got a 3-hour time limit in Formula 1, so we got postponed to 9:05 Singapore time. It could have been the first time since, can you guess, when a Grand Prix finished last on a Monday?
A Grand Prix finished on a Monday?
Yep.
Maybe Canada 11?
No.
That must have been quite late, though, 4 hours.
It was still about 5 p.m. Canadian time.
Do you mean
time.
Four... Oh, you're thinking local time. Yeah, I have no idea. Le Mans 24, was that ever an F1 race?
No. It was the South African Grand Prix, back when they had the driver's boycott.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't have got that, but that's interesting.
That's a fun fact for you for the day.
We'll get into the proper quiz later on, but not yet.
Okay, we're holding off on the real quiz for now. I mean, let's get into the start then. Like we said, we've got Leclerc on pole, Sergio Perez right alongside him. We all know what Leclerc's pole-to-win conversion rate is like, so it comes as no surprise that Perez mugged him off the start.
No, not at all. Straight into the lead. The couple more talking points. Verstappen from 8th just got an anti-stall.
Almost an anti-stall on himself.
Yeah, he got a really bad start and dropped to momentarily, I think, P13, but then was P12 again by the end of the lap.
Yeah.
But he was just kind of like Belgium, just trying to avoid crashing on lap one.
Yeah.
When you got a car that fast, it's just don't get out of the race on lap one and you'll be okay. Yeah, also Joe had a anti-stall because what kind of race would happen without Joe having an anti-stall in the night time? Yeah.
Verstappen seemed to be the only driver on that side of the circuit that got a really bad start because it seemed like the even numbers was actually the place to be on the grid, wasn't it? Because Sainz jumps Lewis as well.
Perez also, obviously getting into the lead and stuff. Norris did get past Alonso, didn't he? From 6th into 5th.
Yeah, so everyone on that left-hand side, if you're on the track, jumped past their competitor on the right, apart from Max inside the top 8. I mean, lap 1, though, was a bit chaotic. I mean, we saw just Alex Albon fly through the shot down at turn 6, which everyone thought was Latifi for a brief moment. I actually said it was Albon because he was still battling other cars, and there's no way Latifi's done that pretty much all year.
Latifi got cut adrift most of the time. Well, he still had time to take Joe out, but we'll get onto that later.
We will get onto that in a minute. Also loved on lap one, Kevin Magnussen, whether for better or for worse every weekend, will not give up places on lap one. I think it's incredible.
Especially still against cars that he just should not be battling.
Yeah,
the amount of black and orange flags is insane. He's the only driver that gets them.
I think this is his third or fourth of the year, genuinely.
No, it's more than that.
I think it might be. I can think
he
of three or four.
Definitely Spain, definitely Canada.
Yeah, and Austria.
Definitely Italy.
Did he get one at Italy as well?
I think he got one at Italy.
I think he got one at Austria, unless I'm thinking of Italy. Yeah. Yeah, we're looking at 5 or 6 then. I mean, that
ridiculous.
Is quite impressive to damage your car in such a way in one third of Grand Prix you start.
It's very Magnussen, to be fair.
Yeah.
Very fast, never gives an inch, and.
To be fair,
unfortunately ends up on the worst end of it.
He also wasn't given an inch prior to that, hence why I think he did fight so aggressively with Max. Because Max did almost put him in the wall heading out.
I do rate
it
though. He's kind of like the salty league racer, just become a real life F1 driver.
K-Mag keeps it interesting.
Yeah.
And
I always guarantee.
I've got a lot of respect for him for that. And I mean, he did. I was a bit worried, to be honest, when they were going side by side in the corner after what used to be the Singapore sling, because I did think K-Mag's going to lock up here and both of them are going to be out, because Max was just being shown the wall.
Yeah, Max completely had to bail out of that, which was very sensible.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, I mean, I think, honestly, Kevin Magnussen, why don't Haas just give him half a front wing that he's already damaged at another race that year? Just so when inevitably he does take half of it off, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, if he starts with no front wing, he can't lose it.
That's a very good point, Jamie.
Yeah.
I'm sure we won't see Kevin Magnussen fly off at turn one.
Camo Red Bull style, where he did testing without a front wing because he broke it.
Yes. Yeah, back in 2015, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was at Jerez. God, we've really gone down a tangent very quickly.
Was it?
It was at Jerez, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Let's get on, though, to your main man, Zhou Guanyu. He got the full Latifi treatment this weekend. How on earth Latifi's still in that Williams to the end of the year is pain in a nutshell.
Fred Vasseur after Spa
was bang on.
Commented, what was it he said? Sometimes
mechanical.
Bad luck. Sometimes mechanical.
Sometimes Latifi. Yeah. Which is spot on again.
Yeah.
I mean, what was that from Latifi? He just down in towards turn four. Joe's on the outside of him. Latifi, I mean, it was either going to be Latifi or Stroll that does that. And this time around, it was Latifi.
Yeah. Yeah, to be fair to Stroll, he's got a little better awareness, I think.
Well, he couldn't have got much worse.
Yeah, back in the day, he just blocked people for fun on blue flags and stuff. But, yeah, it was not too clever from Latifi. He literally ran wide at turn three. So he missed the apex so badly with the car right behind him. Even if you're not checking your mirrors, because obviously the spray is quite bad, you should just know there's someone there. Because he knows that Joe's right behind him. He knows he missed the apex. Why wouldn't you just... Yeah, leave a bit of space.
Williams, just be honest with us. Does Latifi need a spotter?
Someone on the radio being like...
Car left, three wide, hold your line. Just like on iRacing. It'd be fine. Just give him a spotter, please. And just someone to tell him where to brake and accelerate as well.
Just get someone else to drive the car for
him. Exactly. Put Nick DeFries in. Or someone else. Logan Sargeant, maybe. If he gets enough super
license points.
Sergeant's
the favourite, I hear, apparently.
Well, we hear a lot of things, don't we? I mean, there's more to talk about Nick DeFries, isn't there, as well? But we'll discuss that on another day. Early on, though, things were kind of up and down. I mean, we saw Max Verstappen was slowly picking up places. George Russell, starting at the back, was struggling to make much progress. And then decided just to murder Valtteri Bottas, or attempt to murder him. I'm adamant he went down in towards turn five there screaming, "This is for Imola," last year, but we won't worry about that too much. Like we said, George Russell just had a bizarre weekend, and it was bizarre for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah, it was not like Russell's biggest thing this season has been his consistency.
Yeah.
He's not really dropped a shocker like that. I guess there was a couple of qualies where he went out in Q2 early years, but the car was trash.
Yeah, this is the first sort of real stinker of a weekend, wasn't it, for George Russell? I guess you could count Silverstone, but obviously very different circumstances. The race was sort of fairly calm early on. Even Max Verstappen was struggling to pick up places until Fernando Alonso saw him behind him and just decided to clutch the Renault power unit and retired.
Yeah, Alonso always doing his best to help Verstappen out.
Exactly.
Had a retirement. Alonso now claims it's 60 points that he's lost due to reliability this season.
How many points did he think he was going to get this weekend? 46 or?
10.
10,
apparently.
Okay.
But then at least two other drivers also think they were finishing fifth.
Yeah.
So I know Gasly and Stroll both say we could have fifth.
And one of them, who I'm sure didn't think he'd finish fifth, did finish fifth in the end.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw a brilliant stat of Ricciardo this week.
What was that?
You know, prior to the Singapore Grand Prix weekend, he has more tattoos than points this year. 21 tattoos to 19 points.
That is very funny. Very good. I think Alonso still counts 25 points from Australia that he lost as well.
Oh, of course, he was definitely going to win that one.
Yeah, pole position was on the way after that straight line sector two.
Exactly.
Unfortunate for Alonso. Even more unfortunate that he's in my fantasy team. That was kind of it. And then later on, another DNF.
Well, two laps later. Yeah.
It was Ocon. They think it's the same issue on both cars, but...
But one of them blew up and one of them didn't.
Yeah, but I think Ocon's only blew up because he didn't stop it quick enough.
Ah, fair enough.
So, really big swing in the points as well towards McLaren.
This
weekend. So, McLaren have actually overtaken them, which definitely shouldn't be happening based on...
Based on the fact McLaren's still hiring Daniel Ricciardo.
Yeah, McLaren have been fighting with one hand tied behind their back.
We saw Albon as well have a very slow crash, which unfortunately led to the second Williams out by lap 23
also
of the Grand Prix.
My fantasy team.
Also in Jamie's fantasy team. I'm feeling more and more confident about our fantasy team talking about this. Everything kind of calmed down for a little bit until lap 33, where we're watching Verstappen trying to make moves. We've got Hamilton on the little preview camera, and he just flies off the track down at turn six.
And how he kept his front wing, I have no idea.
Because he hit the wall completely square on. And, unlike most drivers, Hamilton keeps hold of the steering wheel in accidents.
He does. But that also made him break his wrists, or do something bad to his wrists in Hockenheim 07, didn't it?
No.
Or did he let go of that? Nürburgring, sorry.
Yeah, he definitely let go there. I think he was just worried he was going to break his legs.
Yeah, his legs were moving a lot afterwards.
But I'm not surprised. He wanted to check they were still attached to the rest of him. Yeah. Do you blame him?
No, not at all. How but enough? That was... Yeah.
I just want to quickly step in there and go for how on earth in one single podcast can we talk about Haref 2015 preseason testing and Nürburgring 2007? The tangents
are Marcus Winkelhock,
yeah, the man, the myth, the beast. Exactly. But yeah, I mean, whilst Hamilton's stuffing it in the wall, George Russell's been on dry tires for about the last five laps and he's just going nowhere. Yeah, it was very
drifting
much
around Singapore.
I mean, I can tell, like, bless him, I really like George as a driver, but you just know he was there thinking in that cockpit going, I'm going to call this and I'm going to win this race and it's going to be the greatest thing ever.
Well, he tried it in Canada, didn't he, in qualifying?
Yeah, and it didn't work there either.
It didn't work there. He's too keen. He's too keen, George.
He certainly is. He certainly is. And then, I mean, the last of our retirements, though, from the Grand Prix... lap 36, Yuki Tsunoda suddenly just decides he's on fresh dry tyres on a still slippery track. He's just going to go full send at the Singapore sling and never even looks close to making the corner.
No. He set his his PB in first sector. Wait, was that straight out of the pits?
I think it was one lap after. It might have been straight out of the
pits. Got his personal best sector one and then didn't finish sector two because he just stacked it.
Yuki Tsunoda, I love the guy, but it is very much a win it or bin it, and sadly he's not winning it much still. I like that though in Yuki. He really does sort of bring back what made Japanese drivers in the past great. And by that I mean watching Takuma Sato on a Saturday qualifying lap go absolutely mental and normally stack it. Yuki really is just...
Takuma Sato in the Super Group.
He was such a baller. Like, man. Even in the BAR, just always, whenever anyone talks about Takuma Sato, I just remember him absolutely chucking it over the final chicane curbs at Canada and flinging the car off the track. Another
They're
tangent.
Fun to watch.
Another tangent. Yeah. But, I mean, yeah, a couple of laps later, though, the unthinkable happens. Max Verstappen, after a safety car restart, trying to look up the inside of Lando Norris, completely destroys his tyres, running down in towards turn six.
Yeah, that was a weird one from Max. Because he was almost like, you don't see it very much anymore, that kind of rash decision making almost. But yeah, he's on dry tyres. There's only really one dry line, or maybe one and a half if you're generous. And he goes so far, I hit my phone there, so far to the inside, and then just completely, there's no chance there's any grip out there.
I think he hit a puddle originally.
He bottomed out, supposedly.
Yes,
But yeah, I thought it was very, very quick thinking of him to flick spin it like that. That was very cool.
I think there also needs to be a bit of...
his race.
I think there needs to be a little bit of credit there as well to Lando Norris, because he really knew what he was doing in that moment.
Oh, yeah.
We saw so many drivers, for whatever reason, try and go defensive when...
Yeah.
But there was no point. Just stick to the dry line, and the other car's not going to be able to get past. As we found out on lap 40, when George Russell just tried to barge Mick Schumacher out of the way for some reason.
And then complained about Schumacher. I was like, what's happened there?
What is he doing? You turned in on him, mate. That's what happened. Again, just such an eggy weekend by George Russell. You just don't see
really
those things often. But... I guess it is what it is. And I'm sure he looked back and went, actually, yeah, that was my fault. Because he's normally pretty level-headed with that sort of thing. But, yeah, I mean, we sort of then had Max, of course, having to try and slice and dice his way back through again. But really, most things had calmed down. I guess the only sort of other interesting point was, of course, that Perez was being investigated whilst leading the race because he hadn't kept safety car procedure. But I guess that's less interesting now, of course, because we know he didn't get penalised for it. Or he did, but not enough.
He did.
He only got a 5-second penalty for it.
What I wanted to ascertain, because in the 7-minute clip, the highlights that I watched, they didn't cover any of that at all, which is very helpful.
Mm.
So he was investigated for two different infringements. Were they within the same safety car window?
So there was one after the first safety car, and then two after the second.
Interesting. So he technically got a reprimand for the first one and then a 5-second for the combination of the second two.
No. That would be far too simple for the FIA to do,
right,
Jamie.
Okay.
From what I read about it, he was given a reprimand for the first, or a warning even for the first one. Then the second one, he was given, he was let off because they took into account the conditions And then the third one, two quarters later, they didn't take into account the conditions anymore and gave him a 5-second penalty. It just screamed they didn't want to change the winner after the race.
Which, to be fair, is consistent for the FIA because they never changed the winner after a race.
No, whether it's the right thing to do or not. But before that, we had lap 57, though. Hamilton trying to apply pressure to Seb. And he just, two laps to go, just tried to go for a move. And it was never going to work. Up the inside, dry tyres, wet track. And he just slid off and Verstappen snuck back past him.
Yeah, it was... Again, it wasn't quite the absolute shocker that Russell had, but Hamilton didn't have a clean race at all.
No, I think he got frustrated by then, to be honest.
Yeah. And I guess, I mean, it don't make a massive difference to him, does it? He's got 103 race wins, so what's the difference between P8 or P9?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he doesn't normally know if those places still award points, to be honest. Yeah. But, and to be honest, it was that horrible thing as well, isn't it? Because people are going, oh, Hamilton's making so many mistakes. You're sort of there, like, when you're comfortably going to finish third anyway by the end of the year, in terms of the team, why doesn't he just have a go? Yeah, like, people aren't giving Max Load a stick for running off down at turn six, but then they're like, oh, Hamilton's washed up, he ran wide once on a wet, dry tyres on a wet track. Like, again, you know, it was an error, it was miscalculated, but he didn't take anyone out. He tried to make things interesting towards the end of a Grand Prix.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, it's just one of those things. I mean, Verstappen made a mistake this race.
I mean, most cars did, I'm sure. It's just a case of who you caught up with.
Bring up briefly was so basically all race Leclerc was kind of holding pace with Perez.
Yeah.
And then towards the end he just stopped holding pace with him. And in the cool down room, supposedly, I haven't seen a clip, but they were saying on Ted's notebook, Leclerc was heard to say, I didn't get degradation on the tyres, I got degradation on myself.
That doesn't surprise me.
Which is fair enough around a 30-degree track in the wet, which is basically the closest thing F1 has to an endurance race.
Yeah. And but I think apparently as well he overheated the tyres.
Sorry?
I think apparently he'd overheated the tyres on the restart and then wasn't right behind Perez and knew he wouldn't close back up.
Right. So kind of just... Yeah, cause if he stayed within 5 seconds, I mean, they just wouldn't have penalised Perez.
No, exactly.
But it's a shame for Leclerc.
Yeah.
And it's weird that it's a weird thing to admit. I don't think Verstappen or Hamilton would be giving that away for free.
What, that they ran out of energy?
That they ran out of energy, yeah.
Well, Hamilton literally collapsed a few Grand Prix ago in the paddock.
Yeah, but that's just dramatic, isn't it? That's,
Oscar-winning
skills.
Oh, don't give me
what,
that.
Getting out the car at Baku. Oh, my back's killing me. I can't do this.
I mean, would you want to have been going around in that thing that weekend? It looked horrendous.
No. But I'm not paid $80 million to do it.
I'm sure Hamilton's not paid $80 million to give himself scoliosis. He's an old man, bless him.
Yeah.
I think poor Kimi would have been turned to dust by now. Alonso probably is.
Alonso got electrocuted, now he thinks he's 21 again.
Exactly. No, he thinks he's 6, 7. I mean, final results, though. Sergio Perez takes the win from Charles Leclerc. That means that Leclerc's now down to a 22% pole-to-win ratio, which with his amount of poles is horrendous. Sainz had a very, very quiet P3. Just didn't have the pace all weekend. Lando Norris, Daniel Ricciardo, McLaren, like we said, very, very happy with that. Should not be back ahead of Alpine, but might now just kind of egg that home. But I think Alpine is still going to be quicker to the end of the year. Stroll P6. I apologise to all of you that voted on the Driver of the Day poll I did yesterday. I absolutely should have put him on there. I did completely forget. Sebastian Vettel, final race at Singapore. The most winningest driver still at the Singapore Grand Prix. Ahead of Verstappen, Hamilton, Gasly, top 10 there. And it means Perez is still a street circuit merchant.
Indeed, yeah. And speaking of Sergio Perez...
Oh, no.
He took his fourth career win at Singapore this weekend.
Yeah.
And that is also his 23rd career podium.
Okay.
Which is quite a lot, considering he didn't really get that many that frequently until 2 years ago.
Yeah.
But your challenge today, Matthew,
oh, no,
is to name every driver Sergio Perez has stood on a podium with.
Oh, dearie me.
And you have, I'll give you a minute 30 because there's 16 answers.
16
and
answers.
And your time starts now.
Okay, Lewis Hamilton, Max Verstappen, Valtteri Bottas, Nico Rosberg, Kimi Raikkonen, Nick Heidfeld, no, that's stupid.
No.
Nico Hülkenberg, no, that's even more stupid. Charles Leclerc. Carlos Sainz. I've already said Hamilton, haven't I?
Yep.
George Russell.
Yep.
I already said Rosberg, didn't I?
Yep.
Sebastian Vettel.
Yep.
Fernando Alonso.
Yep.
How many more have I got?
You have six left.
Six left.
You've got ages. You've got 50 seconds.
Lando Norris?
Yep.
Oh, right. Trying to think. Oh, Esteban Ocon.
Indeed.
Lance Stroll.
Indeed.
Three to go. I'm doing better than I thought I would.
These are quite obscure. You'll know them, but they're...
I'm going to have to try and remember just a podium, aren't I? I think is the problem. Daniel Ricciardo?
Yep.
How many more have I got? Two?
Two more.
Trying to think who else. It was a long time ago races, wasn't it?
One was a long time ago.
Felipe Massa? Was...
No.
Jenson Button? Mark Webber?
No.
Oh, God.
5 seconds.
Can you tell me the two drivers? Can you tell me the Grand Prix? Or the Grand Prix, because obviously I know 14 out of 16 I will absolutely have, by the way.
14
out of
16 is very
good. That is a lot better. I mean, pre-show, you were telling me I'm not going to get many of these.
I thought there'd be a few you missed. I'm surprised you got, like, Ricciardo and Norris and that.
Norris was a guess, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah. So one of them was Canada 2012.
Did he get a podium there?
Ferris did, yeah. Ferris came
Button?
Third. No.
Pastor Maldonado? No, it wouldn't have been Maldonado, would it?
No.
Romain Grosjean?
Indeed.
Oh, that's annoying.
And the other one was Baku last year.
Baku last year? Oh, Baku last year. Sorry, Pierre Gasly.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah. So the two Frenchmen that you missed out on.
Oh, I always forget the French.
But that was fairly good.
Oh, like I said, I was impressed, obviously, when I then managed to remember Ocon and Stroll.
Yeah,
I was going to say Albon, but I thought, no, that's ridiculous, because obviously they were on the same team. Oh, they were replacing each other.
They were replacing each other, yeah.
Yeah. I'll take that, actually. No. 14 out of 16 is pretty good going for me this year. Let's get in, though, Jamie. Driver of the day.
Now, this is a hard one, because I didn't actually watch the race live, obviously. So, like, obviously, the likes of Ricciardo and Stroll did very well in terms of grid position to final result, but most of that was down to luck and timing of safety cars and stuff, because Gasly was probably on for P5 before the missed time safety car. I think Norris deserves a shout. I don't know who I would go for.
Is the thing, wasn't it? Lando Norris was still quicker than Ricciardo pretty much all day long, but it just happened he started 10 places in front of him that no one cared.
Yeah, and Norris also for a bit was keeping pace with Sainz until Sainz got his confidence back.
Yeah,
I think I'll go for Norris. Why not?
Fair enough. I am going to say... Again, you know, Ricciardo, Stroll, I think both deserve a big shout-out there. I'm going to say Perez, to be honest.
Fair.
In the kind of race where you might expect him to make a bit of a mistake, he was cool, calm, and collected. And let's be fair, at the front of the field, if you'd told me Verstappen was in that car this weekend, I would have believed you.
Yeah.
If they just swapped round, I could quite easily believe they were in opposite cars this weekend. So
yeah, maybe they were.
Maybe they were. So I'm going to give it to Sergio Perez.
Six wins in a row for Verstappen.
Yeah. At least we don't now get all those ridiculous stats that without getting wrecked or something else happening, Verstappen's podium streak and all that. You know, like, it's not a podium streak if it's finished.
We can claim some damage without a flat spotted tire or damage to his
car. Yeah. Or anything else happening, or him not finishing on the podium. Max Verstappen has finished every race of his career on the podium.
Only count races where
he finished
on the
podium. In the top three. Or not even finished in the top three. USA 2017, never forget.
And Mexico 16 as well.
Yes, yeah. Let's jump in then, Jamie. I feel like I'm stupidly confident for this. It's F1 fantasy time.
Yeah, I had a bit of a nightmare.
So did I. But I'm hoping not as badly as a nightmare as you is, because now I'm confident over this.
Because as we said during the show, I had Alonso, Albon, and Joe, actually.
Triple
DNF.
I had Alonso and Alpine, so technically a triple DNF as well, but Alonso twice. Not so not great for me. Go on, tell me,
Jamie.
I'll
go first. I got 151.
Oh, you monster! How did you still beat me?
How did that even happen?
What?
I had three DNFs.
Who else did you have? I'm genuinely shocked.
Verstappen, who got 15.
Yep, so did I.
Leclerc, Turbo, and Ferrari.
Ah, you have Ferrari. How many points did they score?
58.
What?
So and 90 for Leclerc.
I had Perez turboed, who got me 90.
Perez get? So Leclerc got the same.
How?
He had a streak and he got pole,
oh,
obviously.
Behave.
Yeah.
Oh, you're such a nerd so with F1 Fantasy.
I got 151. I mean, I didn't even check my team before this. It was just coincidence that Leclerc had a streak.
I got 139.
Wow.
How is this fair? I don't get this.
Yeah, I got 148 of my points from Ferrari and Leclerc.
Special shout out to my meme team where I got minus 17 because I had Mick Schumacher got 3, Magnussen that got 5, Latifi got minus 9, Albon got minus 7, and then Zhou Guanyu got me minus 12 turboed, and then Haas got me 3 points back. So without decent. Haas this weekend, I would have been minus 28.
Yeah.
Which has been quite impressive. Let's go have a look then, Jamie, at the Matt 212 League. We've crossed 4,500 of you.
Oh, amazing.
Thank you to everyone that's joined. We're aiming for at least 5K of you next year. We might even go for 10K if things go well. Are you going to give us a rundown of Singapore, or do you want me to?
I'll do Singapore.
You give us Singapore. Give us a top 10, Jamie.
We've got Ayaz at P1, 344 points, which is...
very good going. I want to see how eggy that team is.
Very good. Obviously, Mega Driver played as usual. Interesting. So Perez Mega, which is bold, but worked out.
Brave choice.
Leclerc Turbo, Sainz as well, and Ferrari. So going big on the Ferrari with Norris and Schumacher, the other two.
So he's egged that really well.
Andrea M in second place with a similar team. Actually, exactly the same team, I believe. Maybe Magnussen instead of Schumacher. I can't remember what the other one was. Second place, 329, with a team called Ferrari in third. With Charlie P.
They did finish third this weekend.
Yeah, they did. Victor L, P4. Ativ in joint fourth, actually. Kevin T in sixth. With Giuseppe, Herman, Anthony, and Johnny S in ninth. Although Johnny S had three teams in ninth. All
the
same. A Mega Driver and a wild card played.
Oh,
so
fair
I assume just did has three teams, but they serve the same purpose.
Fair enough. Why you do that, I
and
don't
Leo
know.
Leo F
play.
Also in joint ninth. Fair play.
Fair play. Round of applause. How many points would you need to be top 10 this week?
286.
So I was only 147 away.
If you double your points, you still weren't in the top 10.
No, that is... But if I Mega Drivered Perez, 6 times points, 300 points right there.
If you Mega and Turbo him.
Yeah, force it through. I'm going to hack the F1 Fantasy servers just for that. Yeah, let's have a look then at our top 10 overall. It's a lot of Canadians. You don't say that very often in Formula 1 inside the top 10. We've still got Max T, though, Mansell's mustache, leading the way, 3,441 points. Bryce G up to P2 with his Mega Driver still intact. Pretty much everyone else inside the top 10 still has their Mega Driver. Larry T in P3, 3,391. Nahal V with Mission Smoke Win Now. Scuderia Wickham, still with Timo in P5, ahead of Philip S with his Volvo 240. Bartek in P7 there with his first team. Tabi and Rosario are inside the top 10 but have not got their Mega Drivers anymore. And then it is Carlos with the Ferrari Master Plan, nestled 1 point behind Rosario. So 3,346 points you'd need currently to remain inside the top 10 of our F1 Fantasy League. And I'm just looking at the absolutely depressing sudden downfall of results I've had recently. 848th in Belgium, 800th in the Netherlands, out of 4,500 people, 3,400th at Italy, and 3,100th at Singapore.
So I was on, I was doing well. I had three really good races in a row.
You did, you egg.
Three. So 255 in Belgium. Oh. 587 in Netherlands, 925 in Italy, and then this weekend it's all falling apart. It's 2839.
At least you can crack the top 3,000 still. I'm getting squeezed. True. In fact, yeah, I reckon next year we need 6 people in the league. Although
so you still won't get top 5.
I still had the highest score of either of us this year, didn't I?
Oh, what a meaningless stat! You mean the best one-off race?
Yes.
Or whatever?
Yeah.
Well, what was yours?
32nd.
So I came 82nd in Canada.
I came 32nd at Austria, so have that.
I've got my Mega Driver to you still.
So have I. It's still available. This is what I do want to get into, though. Predictions recap! I did good for once. Jamie had a nightmare. Let me load up the scores.
All three of my drivers at various points were down certain Rodif areas. All the same Rodif area, actually.
Remind me, Jamie, how many points you scored this weekend in our predictions. Just so I can hear
weekend.
It. Just this weekend.
I got a zero.
I got three.
I think that's the first time. Certainly it's the first time I've got zero for a weekend. I think you might have done.
I think I scored one on quite a few occasions, but I don't think I've had zero yet. I mean, my podium, to be fair, wasn't good.
I got
Leclerc pole, and then I got Leclerc podium, but wrong position.
And to be fair, Verstappen should have been pole if the team hadn't told him to back off two pole laps.
That's not my worry.
It's true. So the points have come down.
They have.
So 53 to me still.
Yep.
And 42 to Matt. Which
11 points.
Bad.
Yeah, I'm going to win this. I feel it. Last few Grand Prix of the year.
Yeah.
I'm gonna win this.
Oh, it's double header, isn't it? I've got another podcast to record on Thursday.
We have got another podcast to record on come Thursday. Oh, no. Jamie, final thing then before we finish this week's show. Race rating. Out of 10, what are we giving the Singapore Grand Prix? I feel like it's been really weirdly reviewed by people this week. Some loved it, some hated it.
I mean, the 7-minute highlight clip that I watched were fairly entertaining. So I'll give it a 6.
I was going to give it a 6 as well. I think it was a weird mixture between entertaining and very dull all at the same time.
Yeah, I'm glad that I didn't have to wait an hour for the race to begin.
It didn't bother me too much because there was still a belief there that it could have been chaos. But
true.
It kind of just wasn't. This is the problem when you get drying races are the dullest. Because, of course, a dry line forms and then no one can go off it.
And then nothing happens.
What we should have done is just raced in the rain and then things would have happened. But we love the FIA, apparently. Anything else to add, Jamie, before we wrap this week's show up?
I don't believe so.
No, we've done pretty
checking,
well. Like we
checking Twitter real quick.
Well, we'll be back before Japan, of course, come Friday to discuss the goings-on ready for the Japanese Grand Prix. Formula 1 returned back to Marina Bay. Loved it. Formula 1 returning to Suzuka as well. I think the new cars around there are going to be exciting for two reasons. One, following each other through the S's. Two, watching them bump along the circuit because it is bumpy old school. We are going to see 130R. People are going to scream.
True.
Thank you all so much for listening. And we will return next week then with more, or even, sorry, the end of this week even, I should say, with more Knowing Wheel.